The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
Okay, here we are, Friday, happy Friday. We have some interesting things to do, historically and in a contemporary fashion. I think most of you know, if you've been following along, the issue of Ukraine being forced to withstand a lot of abuse over the years, the 8 years since we overthrew the government there, is really outside of dispute. That country has been ravaged, raped, pillaged by the oligarchs, by Western people such as Hunter and his pop, Biden, by others that will always remain nameless. But the fact of the matter is the country has been turned into a cesspool. Russia invaded Ukraine 1 or 2 days prior to the jump off of 120,000 man Ukrainian army that was going to move into the east, into the Donbass republics, and destroy everything and force the Donbass republics to surrender to Kiev. All right, that's what happened. Russia was in a position of having no choice. Putin had no choice. He had to pull the trigger, and he did. And it stopped the slaughter of countless people in eastern Ukraine, in the city of Donetsk, Luhansk, and countless villages and towns that are now full of Russian citizens. Why? Because Putin gave all the residents there the choice if they wanted to become Russian citizens or not. 99% did. He gave them all passports, identifying them as Russian citizens, etc. So Vladimir Putin was forced to invade Ukraine to protect the Donbass republics and Crimea. Don't forget Crimea. That's a very important angle of this, too. There is a lot of tactical military thinking that went on prior to this. Russia's losses have been heavier than expected. And if you look at the top of the homepage at Rents right now, you'll see video of, apparently, the rocket that destroyed the Moskva, the pride of the Black Sea Fleet. And it was hit apparently in the stern. Now, the first picture you'll see up there is Photoshopped. This is an example picture of how the Ukrainian cruise missile, which is what it was, rocket, hit the ship. The ship was full of munitions, full of missiles, full of explosives, and maybe even a couple of nuclear warheads there. We don't know. That's a rumor. But you'll see an approximation of how that ship was destroyed. They had over 500 men and probably women as crew on the ship. It is being talked about now that over 450 drowned, went down with the ship, were maybe killed instantly by the shock of the multiple explosions which rocked that boat from stem to stern. You'll see an approximation of it, as I said. Just go to the top of the homepage. And if you want to start it at 26 seconds, which I think I've got it set up for, you will see right to the point. Now, it's not set up for 26, but you can look at the opening picture. You'll get an idea of how this missile... I'm not sure if it's a Neptune brand missile, but it goes right into this particular ship, which is not the Moskva. This is another ship. It's just to give you an idea of how this went down. And then you let the video roll, go to 26, or just start at 26, and you can watch what appears to be the actual missile coming out of a bunker and going out. You can hear it. It's damn frightening is what it is. Anti-ship missiles are not a joke. This took out the biggest ship in the Russian Navy, their naval presence there, and in no time at all. Boom. Anyhow, okay, there's one. The second thing I want to draw your attention to is a little bit lower on the homepage. You'll see there's a woman there in a green plaid jacket with a cell phone in her hand, and it says an important announcement. Let me read the important announcement to you. First, let me say hello to Harry before he chokes on whatever he's eating there. Hello, Harry. Welcome back.
It's my third cupcake.
I knew you were eating something.
Yep, my third cupcake.
Well, that'll get you through the first 5 minutes of the program, but what happens after that?
That'll boost my blood sugar again.
All right. Okay, this is a video we got. It's a Russian video. It's in Russian. So I will read you the subtitles, which fortunately are nice and bold and easy to read. And it starts out with the words, an important announcement. Now, I want you to keep in mind also, as I do this, that yesterday, Ukraine, and remember, Ukraine is NATO, NATO is the U.S., and MI6, and GCHQ in London. Understand that. It's the U.S., the U.K., NATO, and then Kiev. That's the step down. That's the ladder of power and influence and decision making. We're calling the shots there. And there are some American officers trapped in Mariupol, UK officers, French officers, probably Swedish officers as well. So what happened yesterday, two attack helicopters from the Ukrainian Air Force or Ukrainian Army went into Russia and attacked two villages. And I'm not sure of the fatalities or the casualty count, but they went in there and unleashed all their rocketry, probably their machine guns as well, and attacked a Russian village in Russia. Yesterday also, there was an artillery barrage that came down on another Ukrainian city or town and left seven wounded. We don't know if any one of those died or not. So yesterday, Ukraine formally crossed the line and attacked Russia. Formally. Now, I think if you can imagine the pride the Russian people have in their country, it's a Christian nation, not like this nation. We are no longer a Christian nation. Have you seen one American bishop, priest, or other representative of the church stand up and talk about peace? Not one. Not a one. All we talk about in the headlines is tranny this, tranny that, LGBTQ this, LGBTQ that, I kid you not. And Florida had to pass a law that now bans abortions after 15 weeks. And that's the first state to do something like that that I've heard of. Maybe there are others. I don't know. All right. Here's the point, though. We're this country of ours, through no fault of most of our own, and I mean you and I, and those of you who are living around the world have watched this as best you can. But the United States of America is no longer the United States of America. The plug has been pulled on this country. It has been intentionally pushed into the cesspool of current history, and it may remain there for all of history now. The U.S. is finished. Sorry. That's my... I'm not speaking for Harry. Russia has built something like 50,000 Christian churches in the last 5-10 years. Putin is a Christian. Eastern Orthodox. Okay, that's fine. Russia is what the U.S. used to be. It's an incredible 180-degree flip. It's the other side of the coin. It's what Edgar Casey said in 1928 or 29. That one day, Russia would be the light unto the world. He said that in one of his trance readings. Okay, so I've set that up pretty well. Let me read you the outrage of Russians who were invited to this little forum. It's televised, nice production qualities. It looks like, I can't read Russian, but it looks like a major Russian network. But I want you to understand how the Russian people feel about this. And when they learn in full that that ship was so destroyed that it sank, taking maybe 500 sailors to their deaths, they are going to demand even more retribution. They've lost enough already. All right, here's the video, the bottom video. It says an important announcement. She says, let me back it up. Hold on, I got to get this right.
Москва, на котором случился пожар. Речь про флагман Черноморского флота России.
Okay, I'm going to have to do this again. Forgive me here. I'm going to get this right for you. Have another dozen cupcakes. I've got to move this down out of my control. You sound like you've had enough. I got to move this down below so I can see the actual text.
While you're moving around, let me comment a little bit on your what you've been talking about. When I was in Russia the first time in 1991, my host there, who was the chief of intelligence for the Soviet Navy, took me to a religious center called Zagorsk, which is just a little ways outside of Moscow. There was a huge cathedral, and there's no seats there. You don't sit down. You stand in the cathedral. It was bitter winter, and peasants were walking, and I remember this. One lady walked in front of us. She had rags wrapped around her feet, and my host, Anatoly, he says, oh, the peasants, they need something to cling to. And I said, well, I'm a Christian, Anatoly. Okay, the next year I come back, and the Soviet Union was gone, and we were at the Kronstadt Naval Base, and priests were now allowed. And we were there as the cruiser Smolny was about to set sail, pull out. And there was a priest there with an iconic painting in his hands, and he was making the sign of the cross with this painting. He blessed the ship as it was loading, and he continued to bless the ship as the people got aboard. This guy must have had arms like Arnold Schwarzenegger, because he kept making the sign of the cross for hours, and then the ship pulled out, and he was still doing it until the ship was out of sight over the horizon. And then Anatoly says, well, I am going to church because my daughter wants me to. And I said, it doesn't matter as long as you go. I come back a couple of years later. He's hardcore Christian again, and the whole country had turned around. Mm-hmm. The Soviet Union was out. And, yes, he's a very – Putin, I met him – And I talked to him for a little bit. He's not a madman. He's a hardcore Russian patriot. He's like Donald Trump. He wanted to drain the swamp, except where Trump had problems with the law draining the swamp, Putin can just have his enemies shot. So he's not. And I'm surprised you got anything out of Russia, because I've tried to contact my my friends in Russia. Two days ago, I think it was, emails are not going in or out. Can't get a phone call in or out. So, and I put on my little political blurb that I send out, nobody bothers to wonder, why did Putin invade Ukraine? Was it a Sunday and his cable went out and he couldn't watch TV, so he had nothing else to do, so he thought he'd go invade Ukraine? No. And then I think you've seen the clip I sent out, the announcer talking about all the dead people. And I've got all these dead people laid out behind him, all covered with black visqueen. And he's talking about 59 are dead, 123 are wounded, and he's going on and on. And the wind comes up and it blows the visqueen off one of the dead bodies. And the dead guy grabs the visqueen and pulls it back over his face again.
Yeah, I know.
And then
crisis actors. See, it's all BS.
Right. Yeah, and you see these guys that are hands tied, laying dead on the street, shot in the back of the head. My wife says, "Where's the blood?" You know, you see the people that were shot in the subway in New York. There's pools of blood all around them. But the Ukraine guys, they apparently don't bleed, and they don't die easy. The civilians are getting hurt. Yeah, that's true. No, the civilians get stuck in a war no matter what. There's no good war. Wars are all terrible. And I'm a military veteran myself. But when I was 18, 19, I wanted to go kill Russians because we were told they were evil people. Now, I don't want to see a war at all, ever, anywhere.
Well, you're about to.
Yeah, I know. That's naive thinking.
Okay,
bummer.
Let me see if I can do this. There's a time bar at the bottom of the video, and you have to move the cursor off of it so you can see the actual translation. So I'm going to read. It's going to be a little quick. The woman is talking, and there's someone with a, you'll see him, he's on the right. He's got a gray mustache, gray hair, and he is enraged. I'm going to have to go a little fast with this. So let's see. It's only a two-minute video, but it is out of Russia, and it's important. From the Russian Defense Ministry about the fate of the warship Moscow that experienced a fire. We're talking about the flagship of Russia's Black Sea Fleet. And the man says, even the fact that there is an attack against our territory is causes belli, an absolute cause for war, for real, no fooling around, without any, what's it called?
Okay.
What we are doing now is waging war, Russia's special military operation. That special military operation has ended. It ended last night when our motherland was attacked by two helicopters and artillery. When you say last night, do you mean the flagship Moscow? When you're talking about war, you mean total mobilization, says the woman? He says, stop. I didn't want to talk about the warship because there were different stories being brought up. The warship Moscow is an absolute cause for war. 100%, yes. It's our flagship. There's nothing to think about. There has to be a response. But what kind? We need to come up with one. Russia's special operation in Ukraine has already turned into what can easily be called World War III. That is absolutely correct. Right now we're fighting against, if not NATO itself, then for sure against NATO's infrastructure. That should be understood. Against the United States of America. 24/7, they're supplying weapons to Ukraine via the railways, through Poland, delivering weapons. It's definitely not a joke that we should seriously think about destroying those railway junctions. But there's an issue. They keep coming on. I mean, world leaders. But leaders need to be warned. Let them sit at home. We should bomb Kiev, says the old man. That's what needs to be done. This should never happen. What we're seeing on the screen right now, we have one way of responding, bomb them once, and that's it. Message quite clear. Nuke them.
Yeah.
Nuke Kiev?
No. Nobody better use nukes, because then that's letting the genie out of the bottle.
The genie's out. I'm just letting you know that this is a video I got out of Russia showing the rage of Russian people invited to participate in this little five-person, four-person forum. They are furious. And when word gets out fully about the Moskva and the loss of maybe 500 crew, they're going to demand. They're ready.
Yeah.
They are ready.
Incidentally, Moskva is the Russian word for Moscow.
Moscow, yes. I know.
Yeah. So that was a ship, flagship of the Black Sea Fleet, named for their capital city. They can't be happy over that. I've been on board some of those cruisers. I don't know how that thing could have got hit. They got so much anti-missile defense stuff on it that
You go right now, do this, everybody. Go to the homepage, rents.com. Or you can go there through altnews.net and look at the top graphic. It's a great big graphic at the top of the homepage. Go look at it. Can you see it, Harry?
No, I'm looking at the pictures that I've got. Let me go to your homepage. Okay, I got Alt News. I got a picture of this guy with the white mustache.
Okay.
Russian Media Monitor.
Okay. Can you start the video at the beginning there? I think you're further into it.
Yeah, now there's some girl talking, and there's the paid liar in the background.
Okay, you're not. No, you're too low. You got to go up higher on the homepage to see the video of the Moskva.
I'm at the very top. I'm at the very top of your homepage. Well, let's hope other people. Oh, I saw a Soyuz Su-23 taken off. No, that was a 35, and some T-90 tanks.
The top picture is a picture of, I don't think you're on my page.
I am on your page. I see perceptions of a renegade mind. Click to order, nurse.
Where the hell is that?
Things. That's on your page, rents.com.
No, I never even heard of that.
Okay, well, I'm back onto my photo, so I know what the heck I'm talking about.
All right, well, I wanted to show you the ship getting hit. There's actually video of the Moskva being hit and devastated. It's right at the top of the homepage there.
Okay.
It's the first big, a video. It's right below Alt News. It says, Russian missile cruiser Moskva destroyed by Ukraine anti-ship missile. Video. You don't see that.
Russian Media Monitor? Now, I see the words, Russia furious about sinking of Moskva. Many say World War III has begun. Demand elimination of Kiev.
No, that's something. No. That's nothing to do with anything.
Okay. It's your website.
No, apparently not. Somebody's playing games with it. The top image should be a video of a warship about to be hit by a missile.
I wish I could see that one, because I could probably understand a little more about what's going on with it. But
the second one is the woman in the green plaid jacket. And it says, an important announcement. And all you got to do is...
Okay, I got that one. I see her in the green plaid jacket.
Where is she? At the top of the page or down a little lower next to guests?
She's at the top. She's at the top, right under Alt News.
Okay. Well, the webmaster's got that in the wrong place. So check back, or your IP, your ISP has not upgraded their server.
Well, I'll see it later.
Yeah. Okay. The
people,
lady.
They are proud people. And,
they're furious. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe I should be upset, too. Yeah, that's Pachudny Ruski Podvodnik. I'm still an honorary Russian submarine officer.
Well, whoever's in charge of the Black Sea Fleet has been removed of command.
Well, I'll bet.
That's another one.
Yeah, he lost his flagship. You can't stay in power when you are losing ships. It used to be Vice Admiral Valery Grishunov, but he's retired long ago.
Okay. No. I want to make sure everybody gets a chance to see this. Hang on. Video.
I ain't going anywhere.
Of the ship. Well, you got another dozen cupcakes to eat, I'm sure.
I think I've had enough. Ever since I had my near-death experience 2 months ago, my body has kind of rearranged itself and my blood sugar is coming way down.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Well, that's very nice.
Yeah, thank God. Instead of 180, 190, sometimes 200, now it's 130-something to 140-something, which is a whole bunch better. But if I test it tomorrow, I know I'm going to peg the meter. Too many cupcakes and Cokes.
You're doing Coke again? I've warned you about that over and over again. You got to stop.
I know.
Yeah. All right. So, Harry Cooper is here tonight, and we're going to talk about a parallel between Ukraine forcing Russia to war and Poland forcing Adolf Hitler to war to begin World War II. Now, the Treaty of Versailles, often referred to as the most heinous treaty ever, if it was a treaty at all, it was just terms of oppression, it wasn't even a treaty, against Germany, set up World War II. And one of the ways it did it was to give Poland a large piece of Germany, full of Germans, who had been Germans for centuries and centuries, and God knows how long. Well, what happened was, in the late 30s, 38, 39, the Poles began to slaughter these German, ethnically German people. And the part of Germany that was given to Poland was Silesia, was it not?
That was one of them, Silesia, Bromberg, East Prussia, Pomerania. Yeah, they were all, there wasn't really any Poland until 1918, and after the war was over, they redrew the map, and this had been Germany, actually part of the German Empire, because they were all individual city-states, or states-states,
right.
But these had been German for centuries, and people had grown up there, they had German communities, because it was Germany. And suddenly, with the stroke of a pen, oh, sorry, this ain't Germany anymore. It's Poland now. And you guys are Germans, but you're really Polish now. So it was, and the Polish people, well, that's more of my talk when I get into it. But, that's they redrew the maps. And that there was a lot going on, too, that I don't know if you You get my magazine all the time. I don't know if you remember way back. Germany was allowed only 100,000 troops and a small number of officers as the defensive force. They were not allowed to have powered airplanes, so the Luftwaffe had to train everybody with gliders. They were not allowed to have submarines, because when Germany has submarines, the world gets nervous. But they came up in 1935, I think it was, or 36. Some of the German shipyards and the German Navy, which at that time was the Reichsmarine, they set up corporations in the Netherlands to build submarines under false companies there. These were Netherlandish companies, but they were really run by Germans, and they were building submarines for lots of other people, but they really weren't delivering them so much, because I think they realized they were going to start using them, and they were training submarine crews under the guise of training them to be anti-submarine crews, so you had to know how submarines worked before you could be on a submarine hunter.
Uh-huh.
But then when 39 came around, and I'll get into that whenever the green flag goes up there and how it just kind of mushroomed.
All right. Go back to my homepage real quick. Just
okay.
Go back. You're a naval guy. You got to see this. It should be the top image, and it should be a warship with a missile about to hit it in the rear end.
Let me reload that page. Let me refresh that page. There we got it. The battleship, the Ukrainian. Oh, jeez.
All right. Now, that's Photoshop. That's not an actual picture of the missile
that
did the damage.
Yeah. That missile moves way too fast to get a photo taken like that.
Push start.
Yeah.
And watch what you get. It begins at 25 seconds.
It's a Russian battleship. It's really a Russian cruiser, guided missile cruiser.
Okay. See the missile launch?
Yep. Damn, they took down that bird. It's on its way down the road there. You can see the pulses from the rocket. Yeah, usually behind a rocket you get that.
Okay, there's the Moskva. And you see the explosion.
And there it goes. Yeah.
You see multiple explosions.
Mm-hmm.
Because of all the armaments on the ship.
Yeah, once the missile hits, if it hits in the magazines, then that's when it goes. And if that skipper didn't go down with the ship, he's lost his command. He'll be driving a desk the rest of his career.
And there's a close-up.
Yeah.
See it? See the secondary explosion? Just tore that ship to pieces.
Oh, yeah. You hit them in the... that's what happened to the battleship HMS Barham. It was torpedoed by one of our former members, von Diesenhausen, and it got hit so hard, so fast in the magazines, it rolled over. Within 30 seconds, it capsized, and the fire got to the magazines. Bam, it was gone. The same with when the battleship Bismarck fired at the hood. The shells came down through the deck of the hood and into the magazines and just totally destroyed the ship. Only three men survived off that crew of 100, 800 or so. So you hit the magazines, and ball game's over.
Well, there you go.
Whenever you get into a war, you realize that you can die.
Well, the Russian people are demanding that they go in and finish Ukraine immediately. They want it stopped.
Yeah. A lot of the stuff we're getting here, I don't have to tell you, it is so lopsided, one-sided.
Oh, I've never seen anything more so. Agreed.
Yeah, and it's so phony. Like I said, the guys are tied up, shot dead, laying on the pavement. There's no blood. And the dead guys are moving under the Visqueen. I remember back to the Iraqi war when, there was outrage. The Iraqi soldiers were into Kuwait in the hospitals, ripping infants out of their incubators so they could steal the incubators. And I'm thinking, what the hell does a soldier want with an incubator? And then after the war, one of the Kuwaiti high officials admitted it was all fake. And remember how the baby milk factory got bombed. We knew it was a baby milk factory because the sign out front says baby milk factory in English. But what the hell? You know, it's
very considerate of them. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
All right. Let's get going here. Go to guests and click on tonight's guest right there. Click here. And bring up Harry and photos. We want to go to photos. Now, these are, some of these are gruesome.
Graphic.
I want to give everyone a, they're gruesome. Give everyone a little warning. So you click on photos, be prepared. This is, we must understand that the German people had survived World War I, and they had survived economic Bolshevik destruction in the 1920s. And in the early 30s, they began to get their act back together again. And by 1938-39, they were very proud. They had lost a lot of their land after the First World War and that horrible treaty. And then German, these people had relatives still in Germany proper. They were all Germans. The Poles began to slaughter them unmercifully. What other kind of slaughter is there, I guess? But it's
good point.
It's quite, it's like saying a terrible murder. Well, I'm a little redundant. At any rate, Hitler was pressured. Oh, was he pressured? You've got to stop it. These are German people. 20 years ago, they were German civilians. Now, because they redrew the map, they're Polish. Anyhow, go ahead. Onward.
I don't know if there's anything left for me to say. Let me begin with this. Excuse me. Too many cupcakes. The three biggest lies.
You calling me cupcake again? Don't call me cupcake.
No, I wouldn't do that. I ain't one of these LGBT people. I always thought that meant liberty, guns, Bible, and Trump. Apparently not.
Trump.
Anyhow,
today, someone announced, Vidman announced that Trump's health has taken his mental health has taken a dive to the south, and he will not be able to run in 24, for those of you who are interested. That story will be going up
maybe
in about 20 minutes.
Maybe that's true. Maybe that's propaganda. You never have any way to know.
Never know.
Anyhow, the three biggest lies pertaining to World War II are in one sentence. Adolf Hitler started World War II to kill all the Jews and to rule the world. First off, as we've said, Hitler did not start the war. Kill all the Jews, take a look at picture number one. That was my old friend Helmut Schmuckel. He was a decorated submarine commander in the German Navy, and he's a Jew. Oh, I've been in cemeteries over there that were all Jewish soldiers died fighting for Germany.
They were at the range is from 200,000 plus to almost 500,000 German Jews who enlisted
in
the military. Yes.
In the military, right. So, as my host so vividly put it, Germans in Poland, known as Volksdeutschers, German people, Volksdeutschers, in the first half of 1939, they were kicked out of their ancestral homes. You look at photo number two. These are not Polish or French or those that are being, not Jewish people being chased out. These are Germans being kicked out of their homestead that's been in the family for generations, the home, the business, the factory, whatever. Click over to number three. You got the same thing. The Germans, they all look pretty dazed. And
they look like they're in shock. Exactly.
Right. Then you go to number five.
Slow down.
That's all they could. What?
Slow down. We got another hour and 20 minutes to go. We're running out of pictures.
Right. Well, as I told you, we're going to have to carry it with verbals.
You jumped over four, number four.
Oh.
You went from three to five.
That. Okay. Yeah, four. Same thing. You see that's all they could go with. They couldn't take anything. They were allowed, I think, 20 kilograms of whatever they wanted to carry, which is about 44 pounds.
Right.
And out. They were kicked out.
Okay, they were expelled from Poland. They were told to leave. Do we know how many approximately altogether Germans were told to leave?
About 450,000 were forcibly ejected, because the anti-German sentiment was so strong by the middle of 39.
Right.
Germans were all called Nazis and Hitler lovers and everything, even no matter what they thought. They were not they were not treated as people. They were just treated as Germans, and they hated them. Much like the problems they had in Northern Ireland. You know, if you're a Protestant, we got to kill you. No, if you're a Catholic, we got to kill you. I always wondered how they managed that war, because how do you tell the difference? They all look alike.
Yes, they do. Okay, so the point is, they lost their homes, they lost everything, they went back to Germany. How were they welcomed home? Do you know anything about that part of this outrage?
Yeah, they were pretty well welcomed home, because they had family, relatives of some type back in Germany.
Right.
And then it got worse. After they left, if you look at number six, that's the Protestant church.
Go to number five. Go back to five.
Okay, back to five. Yeah.
So they had to walk out. They had to walk home. No transit.
That's it.
Walk
yeah,
or
and,
die.
And that became fairly common. People walking hundreds and hundreds of miles. Of course, if you lived on the western edge of what became Poland, you didn't have far to go to Germany. But if you were in the eastern, like Silesia, where my friend Otto Kretschmer lived, people living there, they had a hell of a long hike. But this lady has at least got some personal belongings in the baby carriage. Doesn't appear to be a baby in there. But you see the lady just behind her and right in the center. She's carrying everything she has on her back. It looks pretty rough. But look at your own personal situation. You, Rents, me, Cooper, people listening to this broadcast. If you had to leave your house tomorrow morning and you could only carry 45 pounds of stuff and that's all you could have, your car had to stay, you couldn't take nothing with you, how would your life move on after that? And that's what these people were facing.
All right.
This is what Hitler was seeing. Then, I say, at number six, that's the Protestant church, the Presbyterian. No, they didn't have Presbyterians at the Protestant church. They had Katholisch, which is the Catholic, or they had Evangelisch, which is the Protestant church. And it was burned.
Burned up.
I guess, they burned it up. And photo number seven, let me look at my notes. Whose place was that? That was somebody's German's house in Bromberg. Bromberg figures pretty heavily into this butchery it went on after this. And then the photo below that is another home in another town. You'd think that after they drove out the people who lived there, who legally owned that home but were driven out illegally, you'd think somebody would at least take over the house. Burning it down doesn't help anybody, except maybe it made somebody happy.
Well, maybe some of those Poles who were behind this deserve some of the famous Polak jokes that are running around. Because it ain't very smart to destroy a viable structure when you have your own people that you could put in it. Not too smart.
Exactly. Exactly. And then you look at number nine. This was the home of a bank manager by the name of Simelsk. in the town of Gnesen. And this is what it looked like after it was so-called searched by Polish police, destroyed. And he had enough sense to leave and get the hell out of Dodge. But they found all his World War I medals, and they threw them into a bowl. And then they all, there's no easy way to say this, but they all crapped on him.
Uh-huh.
So I have dozens and dozens and dozens of files of people saying what they saw. Here's one at 7 a.m. on Monday, September the 4th, 1939. A Polish laborer, Lazuski of whatever, I can't pronounce the house, but in Bromberg. He appeared at the home of this person telling it, of their mother-in-law, a widow and member of the German minority who lived at number 4, whatever street. He said, "Where are the people who fired at us?" My two brothers, Erwin and Helmut, answered uh-huh. that nobody fired.
Uh-huh.
And Dejewski left with the words, "We'll get you all." Then the
See, and there's no war being fought now. Remember, friends, this
that's,
no war.
That's correct.
No,
and goes on
hate.
To say, "I was visiting my mother-in-law and heard the threat. So did my sister-in-law, Mrs. Hildegard Nowicki, who lives at such and such street. 2 hours later, two Polish soldiers appeared and searched the house for arms, but did not find any. 2 in the morning, the same day, 7 more Polish soldiers came and took away Erwin, who was 29 and married, Helmut, who was 27 and single, this person's unmarried brother-in-law, Bruno, a tailor." And she goes on to say, "I heard nothing of these three until yesterday when we found them. Together with several other minority Germans, they had been slain in the woods near Kujawa. We buried them yesterday. Their skulls were completely crushed. When they were arrested, Erwin had 250 zlotys, which is their money, with him, and Bruno had 100 zlotys. The money had been stolen, and the bodies remained clothed only in underwear." So, for the first half of 1939, 450,000 ethnic Germans were forcibly run out. In the last 2 weeks of August 1939, 49,000 Volksdeutschers were massacred in 2 weeks. And at that point, Hitler had no choice. He had to send in the German army to protect the German citizens who were stuck there. If you look at number 10, that's what happened to the people who didn't get out.
This is not taught in any normal American textbook about World War II. None of this. It's all hidden,
no.
Swept away. Evil
right,
Hitler,
we're all
evil Hitler.
That,
it's all
right.
It's all evil Hitler. Never mind evil Stalin. Never mind evil Churchill. Never mind FDR, who set up Pearl Harbor and sacrificed all of those young American servicemen. Never mind that. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, we found proof, which we published in our magazine some years ago, that Churchill had notified Roosevelt about the Japanese invasion 8 days, I think it was, before Pearl Harbor.
Right.
So Churchill was letting his buddy FDR know, and those aircraft carriers were not out to sea by accident. They were out to sea to save them. And what was left behind was mostly old World War I dreadnought battleships.
That's
yeah.
right. So it was all a lie. One of the greatest traitors in American history ever was Franklin Delano Roosevelt. No question. It's inarguable.
Yeah.
And then he forced us into World War II. 90% of Americans wanted nothing to do with the war in Europe. Nothing.
Right. And a lot of famous Americans were coming out publicly and saying, stay the hell out of it. Gary Cooper, no relation. Lindbergh, they were all saying, stay the hell out of it. And if you remember one of the political blurbs I sent out a couple of weeks ago, Roosevelt said, no mother's son will be sent to die on a European battlefield. And this was during the days of Lend-Lease. It first started out where we were trying to stay neutral. And I remember the magazines back then. The Germans were treated like all the other combatants because the U.S. was not in the war yet. And remember, 1938, Time magazine had Hitler as the man of the year. And once we got Pearl Harbor, all of a sudden, oh, we had to go kill them Germans. The Japanese attacked us, but we had to go kill the Germans, which I have trouble understanding. If somebody punches me in the nose, I am not going to go punch out his buddy. I'm going to kick his ass. But, it was all meant to get us into the war.
Ah, every bit of it. All right.
Yeah.
Hold on. And I think all of you can see, as far as the Ukrainian people are concerned, having to leave their homes, horrible. But there's a war on. In
parallels.
Poland, there was, but the parallels is not complete because there was no war. This is just hate.
Right. It promulgated the war.
Yeah. All right. Harry and I will be right back. Hold on. Much ahead as we continue.